Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is the Steve Austin Show. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I'm coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. I'm walking around the crib here at 316 Gimmick Street, and I'll be goddamn if I didn't see something new. We're finally starting to get some of our window treatments in. I knew those people were coming over today. I knew they were going to start hanging the hardware, and I'll be goddamn, there's some curtains over the back door pulled to the side, and it looks really cool. It looks really nice. And this shit better look nice because window treatments are expensive as hell when you do a remodel. God damn. Anyway, hey, I got a great podcast for you today. I drove down to Long Beach, California and talked to C.T. Fletcher at Iron Addicts Gym, talking about his new nutritional supplement line, appearances he's got going on, powerlifting bodybuilding days, cars, and just shooting the breeze with him. I'll tell you one thing. I got a little gym in my backyard. That's where I've been training for the last few weeks. I ain't got no atmosphere over there. I got a little speaker box. I put my Bluetooth on and turn it on Pandora radio, and I got some tunes going. I got a little canopy back there. I got dumbbells to 100. I got a power rack in my garage. I've got a curl bar. Got a couple of Olympic bars, but when you walk into Iron Addicts Gym with all them crazy murals, all that beautiful artwork everywhere, it just makes you want to put heavy shit on a bar and start pumping iron. I need to get that guy to come down to my place and put some murals of me kicking somebody's ass on the walls for a little bit of motivation. Hey, man, I just walked into my bedroom here, and I got the same curtain treatment over this door that I had on the other door. Some of it looks good. Now we can pull the shades and keep some of the sun out when I want to sleep in. But we never get to sleep in because we got a 14-week-old dog that's an absolute psychopath. She's been barking her fool head off ever since I started trying to do this podcast open. And I've hit the stop button 10 times, starting to get a little tired of it, a little bit agitated. Well, hell, I just walk into the office where my wife's sitting with the shredder and the curtain's in here. All three doors, because they're all three trifold doors, have the same window treatment. Curtains, they look awesome. Kristen, are you happy with them?
Oh, my gosh. It looks really nice.
God damn, it adds a little texture to the house because the floors are phenomenal. How would you describe the color of these floors? Are they like sandy, sandalwood?
No.
What the fuck do you call it?
It's beachy with some knots in them.
Yeah, I mean, the floors are really cool, and then the walls are white. And the base trim is kind of gray, so that's all we had. We only got a few pieces of furniture in this house. We got our dining room table, our chairs, got our couch, love seat, and chair, and we got a bed in each bedroom, three bedrooms. But other than that, I don't have a desk. My wife doesn't have a desk. We need some chairs in here. None of our artwork is hung up on the walls yet, so it still feels kind of, well, we're in transition. We need to hang our shit up so we can get our atmosphere back. Kristen, I just got back from Iron Addicts Gym. I showed you the pictures from CT's gym.
Yes.
And that we need some badass artwork in there. And he said that guy was one of those, what do you call them, people that do graffiti. Yeah. So maybe we ought to get a graffiti artist to come in here and paint a bunch of cool pictures of us and the dogs on the walls. Good idea, bad idea?
You can run it by the interior designer.
Well, here's the thing. The interior designer don't live in this motherfucker. We do. So if we say, hey, interior designer, we're going to get this graffiti artist to come in and paint some pictures on the wall. That's what we're going to do.
All right.
Would you explain to me what this black lab is doing? This sumbitch is 14 weeks old, and she's starting to get a little personality, but this is my Unleashed podcast. She just took a shit in the living room. And so I was a little perturbed when I walked around and seen a pile of dog shit right in front of the television screen. And she's been going about 98% outside, whether she's peeing or pooping. She's
mad at you for being gone.
Well, I don't know if she's mad at me or not, but she didn't have to shit on the brand new hardwood floor to exact her revenge. So then Kristen, we give her, you know, like a scolding, hey, bad dog. And then we put her out of the house. She's so smart, she runs back in through the doggy door. So then I got to go get the door for the doggy door to put her back outside. And then she finds another way in the house. We've got so many goddamn doors in the house, we can't give any correction to the black lab. Anyway, you know, Jesus Christ. She's so cute, Kristen. Oh, now she's trying to get up on my wife's chair. But when you just shit on the floor, you're not cute at all. She curled up last night as we went to sleep right by my head, and it was wonderful. And then I come home to this. Maybe she doesn't like when I leave her. Maybe I should have took her to Iron Addicts Gym. Maybe I should have put her on a treadmill. I don't know.
Put her on the treadmill and wear her out.
I need to learn how to put her on that leash and take her on walks.
She's good. I have to wait for her last shots.
Oh, yeah. It's the parvo thing. When the dog's getting the parvo booster shots until it completes the course of the medication, you can't get them around outside dogs.
Right, airborne
disease. Other than, you know, Mule and Hershey are clean, but other dogs, you just don't know.
Right.
Well, that's weird. Have you ever had parvo before?
No, I haven't.
Can humans get parvo?
I don't think so.
Have you ever had rabies?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, I need to go get my shot. God damn it, Chris and I had a good time. I went over to talk to C.T. Fletcher at Iron Addicts Gym. I'm fully motivated again. C.T.'s one of those guys, you sit down in his gym and start talking to him about lifting weights, and I realize I've been slacking too much. So I'm fixing to really start hitting the iron again. I'm thinking about competing in the 2018 Mr. Olympia contest. All right, that was bullshit. Can you go out there and strike a pose with two knee braces on? Yeah, the guy's real symmetrical. Both knee braces are the same. Yeah. I want to keep my reading glasses. I want to keep my reading glasses on during my posing routine. Hey, we got a long weekend, Kristen. Are we going to do anything, or are we just going to hang around the house?
We're trying to unpack.
We're still trying to unpack. That's what I was telling everybody. My wife and I got the dolly out. We moved two things, and I scratched the shit out of one thing, and my wife's mad at me because I was manhandling it. Oh, what'd she say?
She said you don't really need that there. It's going to clutter the office.
Okay, so what does she want to put there to hold our...
Nothing.
Okay, so what do you want to do with the unit to get rid of it?
I'll find somebody to get
it. I got a credenza for sale. Call me at 310-BEEP-BEEP-BEEP. Yeah, 551212. Son of a bitch. What? Does she want us to get rid of anything else?
Probably.
I got this red 6-foot shark with flames on it.
She likes that.
Does she like the shark? Where does she want me to put it? In a garage?
In the pool.
In the swimming pool. That's about right. God damn it. I'm going to get into the body of this podcast. I got a million things to do, and working out is one of them. Shit. C.T. Fletcher made me realize that I was soft and weak and need to get my ass inside the gym and lift some heavier weights or lift at a higher intensity. C.T. is one of the most motivational people I've ever heard in my life. And before I get to my conversation with C.T. Fletcher, I got to talk about another guy who's highly motivational. Let me give a quick word of thanks to one of the sponsors who's making this podcast possible, and that's the one and only WWE Hall of Famer, my good friend, Diamond Dallas Page and his DDP Yoga. You talk about the power of positivity. This guy is also highly motivational, and his program works. DDP Yoga is a great fitness program that will get you on the path to healthy living and keep you there. Hey, man, you've heard me run down all the pro wrestlers doing DDP Yoga. Anyone from Jake the Snake to Scott Hall to Chris Jericho to RVD to Mick Foley, but they're not the only ones. Thousands of people of all ages and all walks of life are doing DDP Yoga, and you can be one of them. And there's no better time than right now to give DDP Yoga a try, especially since Dallas has given y'all 20% off the DDP Yoga DVDs, the DDP Yoga Now app, and all DDP Yoga-related merch, hats, T-shirts, heart monitors, mats, and more. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. The DDP Yoga Now app gives you everything you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. DDP's got tons of workouts, nutrition tips, and recipes, and a way to track your progress. The app also lets you access live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center And you can do DDP yoga anytime, anywhere, thanks to the app. Just open it up on your smartphone or tablet and get to work. And like I said, you get all of that for 20% off by going to ddpyoga.com/Austin. So get on the DDP yoga program today and change your life. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. That's ddpyoga.com/Austin.
Hey, I'm Emmanuel Acho, host of Beyond the Film Room, where we take the muzzle off the mouths of premier athletes. Every Thursday, join me and your favorite sports figures as we tackle the uncharted topic of sport and discuss the far-reaching impact outside of the stadium itself. Download episodes every Thursday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.
Steve Austin, Unleashed.
Unleashed.
All right, I'm in LBC, Long Beach, California, talking to CT Fletcher. Good morning, CT.
Good morning, Stone Cold. I'm so happy you're here again.
I'm happy as a motherfucker and motivated, too. Guess what?
What?
I was trying like a motherfucker. I said, there's no way I can be late to go to CT Fletcher's gym. Iron Addicts over here in Long Beach. You got to come over here if you want a serious workout. So I was on the 405, and I'll be goddamn if it wasn't a wreck on the other side going back to L.A. And it's like, human beings are curious motherfuckers.
Yep, they slow down.
So in the side that we was in, it's three or four lanes wide. You know, you drive just like I do.
Yep.
And motherfuckers going slow just so they can rubberneck and look at the devastation and calamity over on the other side. Fuck the other side. We're going this way. Please put your foot down on the gas pedal so I can get the fuck over to C.T. Fletcher. Like I said, there's no way I'm going to be late. I'm a real ADD, and I can't be late. I said, if I'm late for C.T. Fletcher, I'm going to give him 20 push-ups.
Oh.
And then I said, well, shit, if I were the king of motivation, C.T. be over 23,216. 23,217. And then I started thinking, CT, it might not be me doing push-ups, me being here in Iron Addicts Gym. I would be doing push-downs, pushing the motherfucking earth down, push-downs like a motherfucker. Now, how does that sound?
That sounds fantastic. Unfortunately, I was the motherfucker that was late. And I ain't doing no goddamn push-downs or ups.
And I'm not going to argue with you. Hey, I want to thank you very much. You just gave me a box of goodies. I got some I Command You to Grow whey protein. Hey, man, when did you come out with this line? This is awesome.
We came out in November of last year, right before Black Friday, I think it was. Black Friday last year.
So how'd you get into the supplement business?
Oh, man, I got in the supplement business because I was tired of working for other motherfuckers, Steve. I worked for two other supplement companies, and, you know, it's just fucked. My face on the bottle and everything, and I'm getting paid pennies, and these motherfuckers is making all the money. I got tired of that shit.
So how'd you go about this process?
Well,
dude, I don't understand all this shit. All this stuff is badass protein, right?
Oh, yeah.
So where's it made at?
Okay, it's in Florida. And I have a partner that's, I tell everybody, I ain't no MC squared motherfucker, no scientific. I don't know none about that goddamn shit. So I had to find somebody who was egg-headed enough, who had experience in that field and knew how to, you know, make supplements and shit. And all I did, I was a guinea pig. Everything that he'd come out with, I tested on my motherfucking self first, because I can't ask nobody else to buy it unless I take it myself. I just don't believe in doing that. So I take it myself. The shit worked for me, then I can ask you to buy it. But other than that, I can't do it.
Hey, I'm a big whey protein guy. There's not a whole lot of shit that I'll take, but I love the whey protein. What's the pre-workout motherfucking watermelon?
Motherfucking watermelon is the flavor. The pre-workout is Sidewalk Cracker. And Sidewalk Cracker, you know, that's one of the things I came up with when I told everybody I wanted to be a fucking Sidewalk Cracker when I was young and strong. I ain't cracking shit now. I have trouble cracking an egg now, Steve. I was trying to crack the sidewall way back then.
So what's in here?
Oh, we got all you know, it's the fucking pre-workout thing that gives you the adrenaline, the pump, the go. And it's got a lot of fucking, what do you call that shit?
Well, it just got caffeine, so it's pre-workout. Yeah.
Got something else.
I got offered some coffee right before I got here, or right when I got here, and I said, no, man, I'm all coffeeed up. So this is pre-workout.
Definitely.
Get you amped
up.
So I dig that. Man, dig this. Back in the day, when I was at North Texas State University, I just got finished playing college football. I was pretty jacked up back then, and this is even before I got into the business of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But back in the day, you know, and I don't know what they're taking these days, but back in the day, it was just those old white crosses. It was just ephedrine.
Yeah.
And goddamn, you eat about three of those motherfuckers. It was 25 mg or micrograms, whatever it was. And this is back when I was halfway strong. I was never in your league. But, dude, I'd be throwing down 10, 15, 18 reps to 315. Shit, 30 seconds go by. I'm ready to jump down again.
Oh,
fuck
yeah.
2 minutes. Fuck 3 minutes. I was ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
And back then, it was fun working out on that shit. But now that I'm a little bit advanced, I ain't saying I'm old because I got a few more years to kick some ass. But these days, I don't fuck with too much shit to get me amped up. Now, the coffee I'm good with, but then white crosses. Did you ever fuck with those to, you know, get you amped up in that excited state to push heavy weights?
I think I start taking pre-workout as soon as they invented the shit. As soon as somebody said that, and they had, I think ephedra is the same thing as ephedra. And, you know, I would take the pre-workouts that had ephedra in them because that shit would kick your ass and make you want to, you know, run through walls and shit. And, of course, yeah, of course, when that shit first came out, I was on it, man.
One thing I've never been into is the fat burners. I tried some. I said, man, give me some fat burners. Man, that motherfucker wigged me out. I said, nah, I can't. Homie can't do this shit. Could you do the fat burners, or did they fuck with your system, too?
I got one.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, and I just.
You're going to be gentle? Can I try it?
Yeah, you can try it. Is one in there? No. Okay, good. Well, you ain't got to worry about trying it because ain't one in the bag. But, yeah, it just, you know, really just made me sweat a lot, you know, and I figured, what? Yeah, my daughter takes it. They all like it. You know, I just took it during the pre-trial before it came to the market. I have to take it and try it out, but I don't take it on a normal basis because, you know, I'm not trying. My heart already fucked up, and I ain't trying to make that motherfucker shut down sooner than
Okay. Well, tell me about the sleeve buster.
Actually, that's my favorite fucking product. It's a pump formula. So, you know, when you was young, you go in there and do a few sessions, you get tight as a motherfucker.
Yep.
Feel good, arms bent, you can't even straighten them out all the way. Well, that's really hard to do once you get older. So this shit makes me feel like when I was 20, 22 years old and going to the gym, get a pump and get real tight. And at 58, that's fucking hard to do, Sue. So Steve, I said, make me something that makes me feel like, you know, I used to get that fantastic pump when I was young. Like Arnold said, it feel like, you know what Arnold said it feel like. He was lying, though.
Yeah.
It don't feel like that. But a good
nothing
pump
does.
But a good pump feel pretty good. But not that damn good, Arnold.
Hey, man, how you training these days? Because I was watching some old videos back when you was pushing that heavy iron. And, you know, we was setting records and stuff like that. So now at 58, what are you doing with your training to keep everything together?
Oh, Steve, I am just a fucking shadow of my former self. But I tell you what, I think about Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I know that you may not be able to do everything you used to do, but given the right incentive, that old Stone Cold is still in there. And if somebody fuck up and come crossways the wrong way, they gonna find out the Stone Cold is still Stone Cold and probably get the shit slapped out of them. I'm the same fucking way. I can't do what I used to do, but goddamn it, given the right incentive, I still would kick some ass, Stone Cold. I know you know about that.
So how many days a week in Jimmy's days?
Five. I used to get 5 days a weekend. I used to train. If I missed one day, I felt bad. Oh, my God. I was going to the gym before anything, for my birthday, wedding anniversary, Christmas, New Year, any fucking thing. People knew, where's CT at? He in the fucking gym. I had to go to the gym first. Then I go do whatever the fuck I got to do. But Jim was coming first. But I ain't like that no more.
Why's that?
Well, fucking 58. And I done slowed down quite a bit. And I realized that it's shit a lot more important than just being the strongest motherfucker on the planet. I used to think when I was a kid that that was the end all, the be all. That was it. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. But it's a whole lot of shit more important than that now.
I was waiting for you, ass, because you was late today. I was talking with your daughter. I was looking at all this artwork. Man, who's this cat that put all this stuff on the walls? Because, man, you walk in this place and just blown away by the artwork and it's instant motivation and it's some good shit.
One guy, Lane Smith. Lane Smith, he's a graffiti artist. And he did the whole thing. One motherfucker did the whole thing. I like this style. And I told him, you know, hey, this is what I want. And he did it. Lane Smith.
So how'd you find him?
Damn, how did we find him? Oh, Craigslist. Yeah.
Craigslist. Did you put out an ad looking for an artist, or he was an artist looking for work?
I think my baby did it. Yeah, my baby found him.
Skateboard.
Yep.
Spray paint bottle in his backpack.
How long did it take him doing this? I mean, obviously, he didn't do it in one day. But
he did pretty quick, though.
The first one. So I think after that, my dad was like, okay, you can start.
Right.
Yeah. Each mural probably took him a couple of days.
Yeah.
A couple of days, and he'd be done.
But he was here, but what, he went back to Denver or something?
Yeah, he's back. That motherfucker gets a lot of credit.
Hey, man, I want to ask you about some of them cars in the parking lot. And I know we talked a little bit about cars back in the day last time I was here, but I don't remember shit. So if anybody listens to the podcast, hey, y'all talked about the cars last time you was here. Well, I don't remember.
Me?
You remember?
So now I don't know what the fuck we talked about.
Hey, so what's up with that blue Chevy pickup? Because I told you I had a truck story.
Okay.
Remember I told you yesterday, I was, talking to an old buddy from high school. And he got into trucks and hot rods and stuff like, yeah, like you. He drives cool stuff. And he can work on them. I can't. And he's got the space over there down there where we grew up to have all that shit. He got a couple of barns. And, man, my problem is I ain't got no space because I live in Marina Del Rey. I've got a curb to park my shit on. And I come over here to your gym and you got all your cars parked out there. It's cool as shit. And I just got the fever for this damn pickup truck. And I stumbled across a 65 GMC pickup. And the guy had just fixed it up right, put a console automatic shifter in it from a 67 Camaro. It had a 350 motor.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, no, hot rotted out. Metallic silver paint. Just a regular hubcaps on the regular wheels. And it was just done tight and real nice. And I told my wife I had some business in Irvine yesterday with Kawasaki, and I said, man, when I get back from a meeting, I'm going to go talk to that guy about that car. And I was all fired up about the night before. But then when I got through with that meeting, I was like, you know what, dude? You know, you might really like this 65 GMC pickup truck, but where the fuck you going to park it? It'll be just one more thing I got to fuck with. Well, you're parking it.
I find a space for you, Steve.
You let me park it over here?
Hell yes.
Really?
Fuck yeah.
Well, I might have to talk to my wife then. But I try to see who handles all your paperwork, because every time I get something new, my wife got something else to do.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that. But I got a guy that he has one of these outlets that, you know, when you don't want to go to DMV, you go to these drive-thru things. Well, he owns one of those. So he comes up, I give him all my paperwork, and he handles it for me, because I don't like standing that fucking long DMV line, man.
Hey, man, what about this this blue Chevelle? Is that a 70?
That's a 70.
Now, man, it doesn't look like it's moved since the last time I've been here. What's up with that? What are you driving right now? I mean, because I've always been a fan of the SS cars and the Chevys and stuff like that. When was the last time you drove this thing?
It has not moved since the last time you were here, because I travel so fucking much. You know how it is.
Yeah.
I travel like a pro wrestler. Every weekend, I'm in a different city. So my girls have told me, they have all time. They pick one. I want to start driving that one. I want to start driving that one. And I ain't real keen on it, but they need to get the dust knocked off of them. So I think I'm going to let them drive it. They didn't already pick. She picked out the Monte Carlo that was in the movie. So
I did get Monte Carlo, too.
Yeah.
Good choice, young lady. So who's going to drive the Chevelle?
Well, I ain't got nobody lined up for that yet.
But what about the Mako Corvette?
Oh, man. That's up there on my list of favorites. It's one of those cars, either you love it or you hate it. And I happen to love the motherfucker. Some people think it looks odd and they fucked up a Corvette, but that's all right. I don't give a fuck about their opinion. No way. My shit. I bought it for me, not them.
What year is that pickup out there? Is that a 65 Chevy or what?
That's a 66 Chevy.
66. Has been lowered a little bit?
Has been lowered. 350 crate engine in there. Automatic transmission in the floor. Kind of similar to one you talking about.
I'm telling you, you want to sell it?
Oh, you getting ready to get one, man. We got to have one alike. We got to have twins. So when you come over and drive that motherfucker next time you come over.
So you're saying you don't want to sell it?
In other words.
Hey, man, what's going on? Where's the next place you're going to be?
And this weekend, we're going to be in Venice Beach for the ISCA, which is International Strict Curl Association. It's my association. World Championships, World Strict Curl Championships at Venice Beach this weekend. And before that, I think Bradley Martin is opening up a gym in Woodland Hills. So I'm going to do my damnedest to stop by there and support Bradley before we go to the Strict Curl Contest.
So who can enter the Strict Curl Contest?
Any fucking body. Any fucking body that shows the fuck up can enter.
Hey, when did y'all start that Strict Curl Contest? Because I was watching YouTube before I came down here. I was watching you do some of your lifts. Who invented that? I mean, just the Strict Curl. Because normally when you think of weightlifting, you're thinking power lifting, right. Olympic lifting. Okay, now it's Strict Curl Contest.
Yeah. It was a guy... named Kevin Metzger, and I'm surprised that I remember that name because my fucking memory is horrible. But Kevin Metzger came up with it in the early 90s, and I was always a curler. And it's a lot of guys that, you know, have a penchant for curling, but they ain't got no contest for them. You know, they can't bench work for fuck, can't deadlift for and can't do none of that other shit, squat work for, but they can curl. And when I first started in the gym, that was my thing, man. I would curl every fucking day. That's all I wanted. I didn't give a fuck about nothing else but some big arms. So I was curling all the time. So when I found out that they had a contest for motherfuckers that curl, oh, shit, I was in heaven. So I went down there, first try, because I mean, like I said, I've been curling all my life. So I went down there and set the world record on my first time I entered the contest.
What are you eating these days? Because I was listening to you talking about your old McDonald's days.
Yeah.
When you was eating all the cheeseburgers and shit like that. And you got off that. So what are you eating now just to maintain body weight and all that other stuff? Because I know you ain't throwing down all the cheeseburgers no more.
No, and I don't give a fuck about what... I'm going to catch a lot of shit for this. But I told you in private that after all these years, I decided to try... vegetarian, because everybody's been telling me, DMing me and telling me, hey, CT, it's going to help your health and help you stay around a little longer. And, you know, I want to. I got some grandkids that I want to see get up, you know, to high school age or whatever. That would be nice. So I gave a vegetarian a try for about 2 months. And then my old lady got a couple of salmon meals yesterday. And I fucked around and tried one of them, and I said, well, that's the end of the vegetarian. They got this thing, I guess they call pescatarian or Presbyterian. Pescatarian, where you can eat fish. So I decided as of last night that I'm going to be a pescatarian.
Man, I tell you what, every time my wife gets her blood work done, we go down to Texas to my doctor, and my wife's been a vegetarian for probably, I don't know, 20 years.
No shit.
She's the first vegetarian I ever met.
Wow.
And marrying her. Man, we used to be down in South Texas, man, and when you go to a restaurant and you order some just vegetables or shit, and say, there's no meat in that, right? Motherfuckers look at you,
yeah,
like you're from outer space.
What's wrong with you?
And for me, man, it was like, it was kind of weird at first. I mean, you know, I love my wife.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world, but it was weird. So it's just real different. But my point is, God damn, every time we go down to Texas to get our blood work done, her shit is like, my buddy who's my doctor, Jimmy, he goes, Kristen, he goes, this is the best blood work I've ever seen in my life. So there might be something to that. But, you know, you throw some fish protein in there because you got all them, you're all jacked up, might help you maintain the muscle mass. I mean, fish is clean.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm going to give it a try. I think it'd be a lot easier for me to stick to it if I... have some kind of meat in there.
I'm like an old caveman, though, man.
Yeah,
like I got to have me some meat, but you know, not too much. Yeah, man, I was talking to Mark Belly. Got my ketogenic diet, man. Son of a bitch. My damn arms are about, man, I was almost hitting 19, CT. I wasn't in your league. Wasn't even in the same ballpark. You were playing in NFL.
In the same,
I was in a Pop Warner
league. Now.
Goddamn, got all those carbs out of my system, and my body went into ketosis, got keto adapted, and now, like, you know, like, you hit about 18 cold, but with a pump, man, maybe about 18 and a half. It ain't the same. Like, now I feel flat as a motherfucker.
Yeah.
That some of the weight's coming off, but it just don't feel the same.
It's adjustment.
I need to get off his damn, get on some of his powder that you just gave me to get that pump back.
You got it. If you don't try nothing else, try the pump. Try the pump. I think you'll love it, and for the same reason I love it. But, it's just an adjustment. Your body get used to it, because I'm in the adjustment. My body's like, what the fuck are you doing? Give me all these leaves and shit, motherfucker. Where's the beef at? You know what I mean? So it's got to get used to it. I'm going to wait a while. I ain't as impatient as I used to be.
Hey, man, I got to give a shout-out real quick to Lisa at Fishalicious on 2594 Cherry Avenue, Signal Hill, California, 90755. Man, Lisa brought me a couple of fish meals. I know she's training here at Iron Addicts Gym. Man, I didn't know what her age was. I said, man, how old are you? And she told me, she said, how old do you think I am? I guess 12 years younger than she said.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to give a shout-out to Lisa and the gang over at Fishalicious. Man, you talk about some really, really good food. Check them out if you're in the LBC area, Signal Hill, 2594 Cherry Avenue. Thank you very much, Lisa, for the food. You look awesome. Continue the training. She's one of the sponsored athletes here?
Yes, she is an Iron Addicts brand sponsored athlete. And she, for the same reason you just said, her physique, one of my head trainers, Big Rob did it, told me about her. And her physique is what impressed me most when I first started. I'm like, fuck, if you can make me look like that, then, you know, I'm going to start eating over there at your place. So my daughter fixes my day-to-day meals. Lisa, whenever I, you know, eat out or go by, I go over eat at Fishalicious, because that is, not only does she look good, she's one of the hardest working women that I've ever known. She is a mother of two twin boys. She's a wife. She has her own business, and she's a very, very competitive NPC athlete. So she got all that shit going on, so that impressed the fuck out of me.
Yeah, she's telling me, I said, when do you get up every morning? Because I can see the workload she's going on. She goes, about 3:30. I said, what time are you going to sleep? She said, about 11. And she goes, if I get over 6 hours of sleep, she goes, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm like, yeah, so she got crazy work out there. Then she's dropping on me her cardio schedule. I'm like, God damn, I think that's what my fat ass needs to do, because I still hadn't kicked in the cardio, my lazy ass. I got to kick in some cardio. Did you ever do cardio?
Fuck cardio. That Big Rob Biddy got a t-shirt that said, fuck cardio. I'm going to buy one of them some bitches, because I still hate cardio.
But yeah, back in your bodybuilding days, when you come down from your powerlifting days, I mean, you was big as fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, you had great genetics, you put in the work, and you was eating a shitload of calories.
Exactly.
But man, all of a sudden, when you started in some bodybuilding contests, I mean, you was lean as fuck. So what did you do to get lean? Did you just drop out carbs? Because and that, you're not as old as Arnold, because it's a generation ahead of you.
Right, right.
But back then, I mean, there were no cardio machines in the gym.
Right. You're so right. And they got lean. They got lean as fuck. What I do, I think anything that makes you sweat is fucking cardio. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to walk on no goddamn treadmill in order to sweat. And what everybody thinks that I've been nothing but a weightlifter, but before all of that, I tried to box. I even tried my hand in professional wrestling. So, and I was a track athlete before that. So I went back to my roots in order to sweat. I just go over to Hill Street Boxing Gym, there's little points for them, and I go over there and hit the bag and try to, you know, do a few rounds just to burn off a little fat. And I ain't, oh my God, I don't think anybody on earth as slow as I am, but I'll be in there, Steve. I'll be in there. And that's my choice for cardio.
The thing that happened to me, you know, there's a boxing place right down the road from my house. So I figured, man, this is back when I was trying to do a couple of movies. Man, I don't really give a shit about it no more. But I was going to do some movies. So I figured, you know, with all these fight scenes, I could brush up my skills and look better on screen if I took some boxing classes. Now, in wrestling, you don't want to be from the world of boxing, because the punches are so short and quick, you know, motherfucker on row 100 can't see them.
Yeah.
So, you know, this big barn door right, swinging door right.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yes.
Well, that's what I had.
Yeah.
And in doing so, I never had any footwork. work. So all of a sudden, man, when you get in front of a movie camera and you start fighting, my feet are all over the place. And, you know, if you're a fight fan or if you know what the fuck's going on, if they're shooting wide, I look like an idiot. So I'm telling the damn director, I say, hey, dude, shoot me high. Shoot me waist high. Shoot me tight. Come in close. Do something. You're going to expose my ass. So I never had no footwork. And the dude was training me. He goes, hey, man, you want me to train you like an athlete or like an actor? Which, what do you think I said?
An athlete?
Yeah, I said, train me like an athlete. That means whenever I drop my hands, my fucking pop me in the side of the head. So, you know, it took me a long time. Well, it didn't take me a long time to realize keep your hands up. But you know what? Your delts, and particularly your front delts, because you ain't used to holding your hands up so much, and these big-ass hands, all of a sudden you drop your hands, get popped.
Yep.
But that's half the battle, holding up your hands, but just doing footwork. Did you have any footwork? Because I wouldn't want to fly and fuck.
My footwork was pretty good because, like I said, I was a martial artist also from many used to fight in tournaments and shit. Even fought, I was one fight away from fighting Billy Blanks, the Tybo guy, as a middleweight. We were both middleweights at the time. And luckily, I lost because in the final, Billy fucked that guy up. Now, this is a point tournament, and Billy knocked the motherfucker out. Accidentally. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm so glad that I didn't fight this motherfucker. So my footwork was pretty good.
What happened to Billy Blanks? Because I remember him from way back in the day. He hit it big.
No, Billy is still around, man. He looks good, too. He's over 60 years old and still trains every fucking day. He told me, I think he got his knee replaced, and now he's still kicking, still training classes and shit. And really, really nice guy. If you ever get a chance to meet him, you should do this.
Hey, man, I got a question for you. Did you ever frequent the Gold's Gym scene very much in Venice Beach?
I used to go on a weekend basis, but back in the height, because I wanted to get discovered. And I figured that was the place to do it. So I want to go down there and rub elbows and compare myself with the best, you know, bodybuilders and shit and powerlifters, whoever else on the planet. So I would go down there and they would have the Barbarian Brothers was big, them Tom Platts, you know, Lou Ferrigno was still active at that time. So I would go down there, on a regular basis, man.
All right, CT, let's take a break right here and take a pause for the calls for the sponsors to keep this show on the air for free. I'm coming right back to Iron Addicts Gym to talk with C.T. Fletcher. If you're in the market for a car, then you need to check out TrueCar. TrueCar gives you the price and information you need to feel confident about your purchase. When you register a TrueCar, you'll see what other people in your local area pay for the car you want, and from there you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. TrueCar shows you real pricing on actual inventory, so you see competitive pricing offered to you by TrueCar certified dealers for vehicles that are actually on their lots. And you'll also see all the dealer incentives before you get to the lot so you can feel confident about the price when you show up. TrueCar makes car buying easy, no matter if you're looking for a brand new or used vehicle. And the stats don't lie. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. There are over 13,000 dealers in that network with some 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available. So do yourself a favor and go to TrueCar for your next car buying experience. TrueCar doesn't just make the process easier, it'll also save you some money. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Hey guys, this is Chael Sonnen, and make sure you check out my podcast, You're Welcome. We talk about MMA, we talk about professional wrestling, politics, anything you need to know about today's top issues so that you can sound intelligent, and you get them all from me, your humble host, America's favorite gangster. Make sure you check me out, You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen, and new episodes every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at Podcast One App, Apple Podcasts, and of course, PodcastOne.com.
Steve Austin. Unleashed.
All right, back in here is C.T. Fletcher. We continue the conversation here at Iron Addicts Gym. Do you remember a guy? His name was Billy. He had the biggest arms in the world at the time.
If you tell me, was Bill Pettis?
Bill Pettis.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He just died a couple of months ago, I think, in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, man, it was sad. So
I knew Billy for years, but obviously post-prime.
Right.
When I was training at Gold's and then at World, he went over to World Gym right on the corner of Lincoln and Washington, and that's where I met my wife, but that's where Billy would train. And so I talked to Billy every single day. And, you know, Billy had a few mental issues.
Yeah.
And he kind of, you know, lapsed in and out of homelessness.
Yeah.
And he was always on the streets. And I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah.
But, he always had the gold bracelets on.
Yep.
And he would be all over the, you know, Venice sidewalk.
You see.
But I didn't know this until, about 6 months ago, that Billy at one time had the largest
arms
in the world.
That's
bigger
right.
than Arnold.
Yeah. And just, if you've seen, I mean, it was pretty sad because I knew him, you know, back in the day too. Or well, I would see him back in the day. We didn't have conversations like you just described, but he was one of the guys I looked up to. And then I see him. He'd be out there on Venice Beach with his posing trunks on.
Yep.
Every time you see him, he got his posing trunks on. And there was a TV show that approached me about doing something with a thing on Bill Pettis, and they said what they wanted to do was make fun of him. That was the goal, because the whole show was a comedy, like prank show.
Yeah.
Let's go out here and talk to Bill Pettis. And I looked at some of their other shit, and I knew that was their intent, was to make fun of him. I said, fuck y'all, I ain't doing that. Yeah. Fuck you, get somebody else. I have respect for this dude, so I ain't doing it.
But it was interesting to read that about Billy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, you know, I guess mentally didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, I don't know what it was, but he was out there.
I was watching a video about you before I came over here. There's a lot of motivational stuff, and one of the things I included in my open. But also, I was watching some of your, talking about some of the biggest guys that you had met back in the day, and I think I'm going to throw this name out there and see if I get it right. The guy's name was Craig Munson.
Ooh, yes. Now, a whole lot of people don't know who Craig Munson is. But this was, and I think still is, it may be just the indelible impression that he left on my ass as a young guy. You know, I met Craig probably when I was 23, and I seen this motherfucker. And I hung out at Gold's Gym, so I got to see some big motherfuckers. All the Olympia compared with Lee Haney when they got ready for they would come to goals. And I got to see all the big guys, and they were impressive, but none of them impressed me like Craig Munson. This dude's like a street legend. And he was not the most cut motherfucker, but he was over 300 pounds, and you could see striations and veins and shit. And back then, that impressed me more than a Mr. Olympia physique. You know, you see the guys in Mr. Olympia, they very vast, very, you know, but to be 300 plus pounds, big ass garden hose veins running through your arms, skin tight, and no fat, fuck. I would have gave that motherfucker the Mr. Olympia title if I was the judge.
Whatever happened to it?
He's still around. He's still around. He is in L.A. because, you know, I talk about him. And somebody, I believe his cousin, contacted me and said, do you know that he's still alive? And I'm like, what? Really? Craig Munson's still alive? And I gave my number, and Craig called me up on the telephone. He said, hey, man, thank you so much for plugging me, and I can't wait to do an interview with you. So He had an injury, so he said he's 280, and he told me that he's going to get in shape because he don't want to appear when he's not in shape, and he's going to come over here, and I get to train with Craig Munson, man. Finally, 35 years in the making.
Man, you was talking about some of the heyday of bodybuilding, and like, man, all those guys that used to be the scene at Gold's Gym.
Yeah.
And now, not so much. I mean, everybody's kind of scattered out. A lot of people in Vegas, a lot of people in their different states.
Right.
But, you know, back in the day, that Gold's was the Mecca, and that's where everybody came.
That's it.
Where's bodybuilding at right now in your eyes? You still got the Arnold, you still got the Olympia.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it regressing, progressing? I mean, the physiques are phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. The physiques are ridiculous, But you know, I think if a guy, a massive guy, but you know, it's a good thing I'm not a judge, because Ty Green would have been Mr. Olympia a few times. Because I think if you can pull that kind of mass, see, they don't give enough credit to me for a massive motherfucker. If you can pull that kind of mass together and be that goddamn tight, if it's close, I'm gonna give it to the biggest motherfucker. Right. Because I think that Mr. Olympia should be a big motherfucker. That's just my opinion.
Right.
Just my opinion. Dorian Yates, big motherfucker. You know, Mr. Olympia should be the biggest motherfucker on stage.
Right. Just,
Arnold was the biggest motherfucker on stage in his day. Sergio Oliva, the biggest motherfucker. Sergio Oliva is my favorite bodybuilder of all time. He won a Mr. Olympia contest just by saying he was going. Everybody else said, fuck it, I ain't going if Sergio's in the shit. Now, how bad you got to be for every other professional bodybuilder to say, fuck it, I ain't going because Sergio Oliva showed up? He said, I'm going to enter. Everybody said, fuck it, give it to him. Give him the crown. Now, that's bad.
You got any guys that are on the national scene here at Iron Addicts?
National level competitors as far as weightlifters, yes. I don't know if any of the bodybuilders on that. Lisa's going for a national title herself, and we have but Bulo is I call him legendary Bulo. He's a national level power lifter. So we have some a power lifter and a bodybuilder at a national level right now. And we have pros to come in here and train, but not on a regular basis.
Today is Wednesday. Tonight is workout Wednesday. It starts at 6 p.m. I know you all are deadlifting tonight. What's the training protocol? I mean, because Lisa's going to be here deadlifting. And she says, when you train here, you train heavy.
Yeah.
So she's 9 weeks out from a contest. Like, what's going on with her training, and why is today deadlift day?
Today is deadlift day because traditionally Wednesdays are deadlift days. And I am going to my job tonight is to kick Lisa's ass. I don't give a fuck about her being that close to her contest. She is going to get broke in two and put back the motherfucker together again. That is my job, and that's, I will not have any pity on her, and I will kick Lisa's ass tonight.
So you're going to push her in the gym?
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm tissy break.
So what do you think? I mean, I think she's weighing about 122. I asked her a while ago. She looks like $1 million. So what will she be picking up?
Oh, she's going to have to go at least 225. At least, double. I want to do double her body weight for sure. Yeah.
I was going back to some of your videos, and you said in various gyms you would bench press, but I think officially you bench press 725.
705.
705.
Yeah, and that was unofficial.
But you bench pressed 725.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
And then your best squat was right around 725.
Yes.
Because you could bench what you could squat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're already at 1450.
Right.
So what was the dead?
The deadlift was around the same. I think my best deadlift was 750.
Okay, yeah. So you're 22.
Yeah.
23.
Yeah. But the reason I didn't enter deadlift and squat, because I would have got my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Simple as that. I knew that these guys out there deadlifting a fucking 1,000 and squatting a fucking 1,000. So what the fuck, I'm going to go in there and do 725 when they doing the fucking 1,000. They would have killed me. So
there's a video of you laying on a bench. You got 405. The plates are just rattling. You know, that good rattling.
Yeah,
you see,
yeah.
Especially when you're just pumping them out.
Yeah.
And you're talking, and you think you got the 405. You lower it down your chest. You know, what I like doing is pauses when I'm bench pressing. And you're sitting there talking. You had it down there for at least 15 seconds.
Yeah.
You're pushing on up, and boy, just racking those. You're just pumping out them reps, and the plates are rattling. You were always probably a good bencher because of leverage and genetics, but just with respect to how you train for the bench, what was your methodology as far as, you know, fives, threes, singles, or pauses? Tell me about what someone would want to do if they just wanted to either, one, build a big chest, or two, be a great bench presser, push a lot of weight.
Okay. Now, I have to mention my training partner, Richard Schoenberger, the silverback, because without that guy pushing me, every Monday night we trained together, and we did battle for 20 years every Monday night. Now, Rich was about 5'9", 375, and just 100% drug free lifetime, 100%, never touch a stick, and just fucking ridiculously strong. So every Monday night, me and Rich would go to battle. So that helped me an awful lot to have somebody, you know, that was my equal that I could go head up against every Monday night. That helped a lot. So I have to pay homage to Richard Schoenberg, which he's still with me today. Still, he's an Iron Edge brand sponsored athlete, and I really want to tell his story, get his story out there. But we did tops three reps. We do tops was the three reps. And pause reps, we practice pause reps a lot because that's what it required in a contest. People don't know that in a real legitimate contest, you got to pause. And that pause will fuck your ass up. If you don't, you can, a lot of guys can bounce a lot of shit and they touch and go a lot of shit. But when you throw that pause in there, that separates the men from the boys because it's hard as fuck to come from a dead stop and then press that weight. You can bounce a lot, but it ain't the fucking same. And when I did 725, it was a touch and go.
Right.
It was not a fucking, it wouldn't have counted in the contest any fucking way.
Right.
So we didn't rep high. We kept the weight really heavy and just pause reps were part of it. We had floor presses. I did a lot of floor pressing and board pressing. Rich didn't do none of the floor pressing because his fucking chest was too big.
Right.
He'd bring the bar down and it fucking would stop at his chest before your elbow was supposed to touch the floor.
Yep.
And his elbows couldn't even make it to the floor because it was too fucking big, yeah. Too thick. So I did a lot of that shit and it was just heavy, heavy, few repetitions and eat your fucking ass off. That was my three principles.
Did you focus on any incline pressing at all, or was it just all flat?
You know what? I always hated incline press. And, you know, I know a lot of guys swear by it now. They got a guy named Leroy Walker who probably inclines almost as much as he flat benches, and they swear by it. But that wasn't my big thing. I did a lot of shoulder presses, and I seen Rich do 525 pounds. Military press, and that's no jerk, no leg, nobody. Just walk up to it and press that shit straight over his head. And I ain't seen another motherfucker do that to this day.
No, I haven't either. But it goes back to training shoulders. How important was the shoulder training to the bench press?
I thought it was key. Super, super important. I thought the shoulder training was really what got my bench press, you know, as high as it was. The way I would train shoulders, rear delts also. I used to do bent over and take a couple dumbbells and do rear delts with 120-pound dumbbells for sets. Like, it wasn't shit, because I think rear delts, yes.
God damn.
Yeah.
I'm looking at CT with his look on my face. He goes, yeah.
Yeah, like, I know, that shit's hard to believe. And yeah. Motherfuckers see me do it, couldn't believe it either. They were like, oh, no, it's got to be some kind of trick.
Yeah.
This motherfucker, I mean, they watching me do it, see? And they're like, it's got to be some kind of trick to this. And they go over there and grab the dumbbells. They figure, like, it can't be 120 months. Somebody mismarked this motherfucker or something. And they grab that motherfucker and have to pick it up with two hands. They were like, oh, it is 120. They're like, God, But you know, I was just blessed to be really strong.
Hey, man, what happened to the, you know, back in the day, you know, I grew up, you know, reading all the muscle and fitness magazines.
Just like me.
USA, yeah. You know all this shit, right?
Yep.
So back in the day, one of the king of the shoulder exercises was behind the neck press.
Oh,
but
yes.
These days, motherfuckers, I mean, and I'll say, even I only do military presses right now, but how come the behind the neck press just fell out of favor? Because back in the day, every strong motherfucker, every
had
champion bodybuilder
had to do
behind
it.
The neck.
Yes, you know what, Steve? And, you know, I don't know what the fuck happened to it, but you're absolutely right. Back in the day, I mean, some fucking egg-headed motherfucker with some thick-ass bifocals said, that's the improper way to do it. You're going to hurt yourself. But back in the day, I would go 425, you know, seated behind the neck yeah. press. And I thought, and I still believe, that those behind-the-neck presses, help my bench press immensely. But I don't see people doing it because some egg-headed motherfucker sit down and decided that the shit, you know, is bad for you. So that whole lot of things like that, that they decide shit is bad for you and working out too long and overtraining and all that. Oh, it's bad. They didn't even have no fucking term called overtraining when I was going, what the fuck is overtraining, man? So I don't know. They come up with all this new bullshit.
you through the bulk of your career when you're a competitive powerlifter or doing your strongman, you know, whatever you're doing, lifting and contest and training for that, or just in training in general. Were you a guy just like when you were training with your partner there, was it Richard?
Yeah, Richard Strongman.
When you and Richard training, I mean, I like doing a heavy set, like wait 3 to 5 minutes or just like get maximum recovery before you get back under the heavy weight?
Goddamn right. We sure did. I would eat a cheeseburger sometime in between sets before I went back to it. Rich would do his set, and I'd be sitting there eating a cheeseburger and waiting for my set, and we'd take our motherfucking time until fully recovered, because you got to remember that that rep or those reps that you're going to do is a maximum effort. It's going to require every fucking thing you got because you're working so close to your max, so close to your limit. So you need that recovery time. You can't just jump back under there set after set when you're busting your ass with that weight. When that weight is, you know, to the asshole falling out limit almost, you just can't jump down. You got to wait to recover.
So then if a deadlift was on a Wednesday, so what was a bench day?
Okay, bench days was Mondays for me and Rich. And then I would do deadlifts on Wednesdays, and Friday would be leg day.
So 3 days a week, or did you get the other Tuesday and Thursday accessory work?
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. Monday, Wednesday, Friday was the heavy shit, and then Tuesday, Thursday was the accessory shit. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, would you recommend that training program right now to anybody, or what would you tell? Like if you said, hey, Steve, we got to get your ass in better shape. You got a Broken Skull Challenge coming up on July 21st. Here's how I want you to train. What would you tell Steve Austin?
I'll tell you what I did and what worked for me, but I would tell you this. Yes, I'd say, Steve, look, we two different motherfuckers. And everything that worked for me might not work for you. So if a motherfucker tells you, Steve, I got the perfect training program for you, and this, goddamn it, is going to work, is absolutely guaranteed to work, fuck him. Because there is no fucking one size fits all when it comes to training routines. What Steve have to do is try the shit for himself. And if it worked for Steve, then you keep it. If the shit don't work for Steve, then goddamn it, Steve, don't do that shit. You try, I'll tell you what I did. You try it, it works for you, then keep that shit. If I tell you what I did, you try and it don't work, fuck CT. you try some more shit until you find what works for you.
Man, that's the thing. I look in a lot of magazines, everybody looks at the guy with the best physique and think, okay, I'm going to try his routine. Well, man, if you're normal Joe Blow, I mean, first of all, he probably got way better genetics than you. That's why he's in all the magazines. That's why he's on top.
Yep.
So, but to your point, yeah, you got to find out what works for
exactly.
You.
Exactly.
But so many times people want to look at it, the biggest dude or the best guy with the best physique and say, okay, I'm going to do this guy's routine. And like I said, you can do it, but just because that dude's all jacked up, it don't mean shit for you.
Don't mean a goddamn thing. I mean, I think Tom Platt said he made his first $1 million selling leg routines. But how many motherfuckers you see with legs like Tom Platt's? It ain't a whole hell of a lot of them. I tell you, to me, he still got the best legs of all time in bodybuilding.
I would agree. Hey, who's some of your favorite bodybuilders from back in the day, and who's some of your favorite bodybuilders in the current scene?
Of course, I mentioned Sergio Oliva. Arnold's, of course, one of my favorites. Franco Colombo, Frank Zane, and God damn it, Larry Scott. Larry Scott is the one who really made me want to train arms. I wanted arms like Larry Scott, man. Dave Draper, and before all of those guys, Hercules. What's Hercules' name?
Lou Ferrigno.
No, the original.
Steve Reeves.
Steve Reeves.
Yeah.
That's him. That's I'm old. Yeah. So Steve Reeves was the man. Man, when a Hercules movie came on, shit, I'd be running to the fucking TV and slide like I'm still in home base and shit. Oh, fuck. Hercules is on. Did nothing else, man. I could be outside playing and shit. My mom was, hey, Hercules. I'm headed to that black and white TV, man.
Larry Scott, wasn't he big on the Scott curl, which was also known as the preacher curl?
Exactly. And that is why, to this very fucking day, that is my favorite arm exercise, bicep exercise, is a fucking preacher curl or a Scott curl.
So, like, how many reps works for CT Fletcher?
I never count You know, I never have never been a proponent of counting refs. I just say when somebody asks, how many are you going to do? I say, all of them. That's my answer. Yeah. All of them.
So, okay, now let's go back. Let's go back 10 years. So you're still clanging and banging. You're talking heavyweights, and you're what? You're 48.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
48. So 48 is young.
Yeah. Really yeah. Young. It is.
Yeah.
I didn't think
throw
so.
Throw some shit around. Yeah. Well, yeah.
It is.
Now it's young.
Yeah.
So like, if you're gonna train chess, you just lay down. I mean, say it's 315 on the bar. You're just gonna rep the shit out of that until you just you pump like a motherfucker. Just okay, take it. I'm done.
Yeah. Well.
With respect to every single set, I mean, just berserk.
Well, yes and no. Now I have to go back now to the guy who taught me how to lift weights, and his name was Jim Britt, Big Jim Britt. They called him Stone Pony, in a garage in Compton. Jim Britt taught me how to lift weights, and Jim Britt was a rep man. He was a rep man. He was repetition was his thing. Now, it was my goal to beat. When I first went there, Jim Britt was like, you will never be able to out rep me. Now, you may be strong than me, but your ass will never. So that me when a motherfucker tell me I can't do something, that really make me want to do it. So I said, I'm a stay in this garage with your ass until I out rep you. And I remember me and Jim Britt put 315 on the bar. And that was the warm-up weight. That was everything. We started out with 315. And we stayed in that motherfucking gym from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. He wasn't giving up, and I wasn't giving up. So I said, as long as your punk ass is here, I'm going to be here with you. And we do at least 10 reps each set. And we did that shit for 12 hours because he refused to give up. And if anybody would say, that's overtraining like a motherfucker. But Jim Britt, to this day, Jim is 75. He still looks good, man. He looks good. And that's been his philosophy for, you know, rep. He said, I let a motherfucker be stronger than me, but your ass is not going to out-rep me. So repetition. I was taught the way of repetition by Jim Britt. Wasn't no such thing. We were just trying to outdo each other. So we would rep. But with the 315, for that many sets, 10 to 12 reps each set. But that's 12 hours.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How'd you feel the next day?
You know what? You would think that I'd be all fucked up, not be able to do shit for a couple of weeks. But I was so accustomed to doing all them long reps and all them sets of shit with them that my body adapted to it. So that's why I tell motherfuckers that overtraining is bullshit. Because your body will adapt. If you train it to do that kind of rigorous shit, yeah, like a motherfucker that didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm gonna run 26 miles. You don't just wake up and run a fucking marathon. But if you train, your body adapts to running that fucking far, you can do it. And it won't be shit for them. I mean, everybody running 26 miles, marathon running 26 miles. I can't do shit, ain't never been able to do it. But they train their bodies to adapt to that kind of shit. And I say your body will adapt. So overtraining in your motherfucking head. And I don't give a fuck if you agree with me or not, because I have the courage or the balls to stand alone if need be. So when I say overtraining bullshit, I don't give a fuck. And I had a whole lot of people call me up, experts and shit. Hey, Steve, you crazy. And I don't give a fuck. I got the balls to stand by myself, Steve. I don't give a fuck if they agree with me or not.
Today's bodybuilders, who you like as far as some of you guys and physiques?
Of course, Kai Greene.
Right.
Kai Greene's one of my favorites because not only because of his physique. I say if you can pull that much mass together and that tight of a package, yeah, you should, to me, you should have won Mr. Olympia a couple of times. But there is a guy, God damn it, I can't remember his name, but he did a double bicep on the Mr. Olympia stage. Now, on Mr. Olympia stage, everybody over there 20-something inch arm. But when this motherfucker did a double bicep, he blew everybody the fuck away. And when you can do that on the Mr. Olympia stage, you automatically become one of my favorite motherfuckers.
Right.
And he's doing well. Roly Winkler, I think his name is Roly Winkler, but this motherfucker's arms is just ridiculous.
Man, I seen a dude, he's out of Dallas, Dexter.
Oh, yeah, fucking Dexter.
MacArthur. Well, whatever.
It's Dexter Jackson. And Dexter Jackson,
the white dude?
No.
Well, I know Dexter Jackson.
Is another Dexter?
Goddamn. Dude's out of Dallas, Texas. He's white dude.
Yeah. I think
this motherfucker, he's 21 years old.
Oh.
This motherfucker's a fucking monster.
Dallas MacArthur,
or Dexter MacArthur. You might be right. It might be Dallas MacArthur.
Yeah, he's a big motherfucker. That's the only one I can think of, but I'm not sure where he's from. But Dexter Jackson is also one of my favorites because he ain't that young no more. And he's still kicking ass, so I like that shit.
Dude's name is Dallas MacArthur.
Yep, that's him.
That's the guy you're talking about?
Yep, that's him. I had a feeling that was him. That motherfucker's a monster.
And he's 21 years old.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yep, he is a monster. And yet, when you really know how big he is, when you see him standing next to these other motherfuckers, then you can really tell how big.
Well, my buddy was telling me about him. I was looking at the picture. I said, man, that dude, maybe he's 5'10". Well, I think the dude's like 6'2".
Oh, is he? I didn't know he was that tall.
No, yeah, he's pretty tall.
He's huge. Yeah. He's huge. That's tall, really tall for a bodybuilder. And Sergio Oliva Jr., I have to say that's another one of my new favorites. He just won his first pro show. He's the son of the myth. He's the son of Sergio Oliva. And he came in here and he trained. And I put him through the gauntlet, which is my tricep exercise. I did it for triceps and bicep. And he did it back to back for bicep and triceps, 400 reps all together. And he did the shit, and he did the shit with really good form, and he went out in his first pro show and won first place. And it is a tremendous amount of pressure to be the son of Sergio Oliva and be a bodybuilder. My son gets all kind of shit because he's my son.
Right.
For no other reason, because he's my son. I'm not near on the level of Sergio Oliva, but it's a lot of pressure on a youngster that tries to follow in a famous father's footstep. Just like your son. If your son decided he wanted to be a wrestler, they were like, oh, you ain't Stone Cold. You ain't Stone. They would find so much fucking fault. As soon as they find out he's your son, then they go, he's going to be judged on a different scale.
Right. Hey, I got a question for you. There's another man. If you just go to YouTube, type in C.T. Fletcher, you'll see all kind of stuff pop up with millions of hits, hundreds of thousands of hits. C.T. Fletcher. You was doing a workout or taking some WWE guys through a workout. Jinder Mahal was one. He just became the world champion the other night on a pay-per-view. Who was the other cats that was there?
Braun Strowman.
Big Braun. God, he's got a lot of potential. Big motherfucker strong.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And Big E.
Big E.
Yeah.
Big E strong as motherfucker,
oh,
too.
Oh, man, he's strong. Former powerlifter, and he looks every bit of it, too. But Jinder, I'm so proud of Jinder because he came here, and what people don't know is before we start videotaping, he was already at 2 hours before we start working out, before me and Big E and Braun Strowman start working out. He was here 2 hours ahead of time. So, they like, oh, well, he didn't quite keep up. That motherfucker had already been here 2 hours. But his work ethic is the reason why he's a fucking champion.
Right.
And people like, oh, I see, T, after he trained with you, then he... I don't get no credit for that. That motherfucker's a hard worker. Fucking Jinder Mahal works his ass off, and that's why he's a fucking champion. But goddamn, Braun. Oof.
That motherfucker's strong.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that he used to be a professional strongman, but I had no problem believing it after he came in here. And I put that motherfucker, I put him through everything that I could fucking, I threw the book at his ass, and he would just look at me and laugh and do that shit. I said, I'm going to break this big motherfucker down. And I took him over there to the goddamn preacher curl, and I slapped 245s on each side. And I said, now that's usually where I just leave everybody. Even at my fucking age, motherfuckers can't keep it. And when you put slap 245 on the side, they just, fuck it, I can't do it. I just break them in half, and that's the end of the workout. Not that motherfucker. Braun Strowman did that shit, and I think he stopped when he matched me. But he had more left in him. He could have did more, but just out of respect for my old ass, I think he didn't want to, outdo me too bad, since that's supposed to be my shit.
Yeah.
But he took it easy on me. But that motherfucker was super strong. And he left here. He took that fucking sidewalk cracker, man, and raw, just fuck the water. Just took it straight in. He took a couple scoops of that shit, turned red, and bam, he was lifting his ass up.
Where did y'all do that? Was that here?
Right here.
So how did they find you? I mean, obviously everybody knows about you, but when you're on a WWE superstar schedule, it's hard for those motherfuckers to get time to just come down to Long Beach and train.
You know what, Steve? It is amazing. It is amazing, man. The cast that I looked at on TV, like you, Bill Goldberg, have been in this little tiny little funky ass gym. Braun Strowman, Big E, Jinder Mahal, and even more professional wrestlers. For some unknown reason, and maybe it's because they know how much I love professional wrestling. Because I'm a big-ass fan. I ain't got no problem saying I'm a big-ass fan of professional wrestling. They find me. And, you know, a lot of it's through Mark Smelly Bell. I got to give Smelly Bell credit because he knows, you know, he knows a lot of professional wrestlers. And they say, hey, how do I contact CT? And they contact Mark. Mark contacts me, and it's on after that.
So who would you like to come down here next?
Oh man, I got a list. Of course, The Rock.
Yeah.
I want the Brahma Bull to bring his ass down here to the Valley of the Beast. I want the Brahma Bull, and I want Brock Lesnar. I definitely want Brock Lesnar because the motherfucker, I think he's just a little bit crazy, and I like crazy motherfuckers. And I would like to see. Oh, he got another big ass guy. Damn, I can't think of his fucking name. It's a couple.
Why are you trying to think of that name, though? I mean, Brock Lesnar. God damn, I've seen a lot of guys, you know, in my sports endeavors, whether it's football, college level, you know, and through the business of pro wrestling. But just as far as athletic ability, him coming from that wrestling background, but he's like a Usain Bolt. Like Usain Bolt, like he's been probably once in a generation.
Yeah.
Same with Brock Lesnar. From a genetic standpoint,
he's a freak.
I don't know what that guy could really do if he applied himself to bodybuilding or powerlifting or whatever, but just because he's so big, strong, fast, quick, explosive, everything.
Every fucking
dude's
thing.
Special.
Yes.
Well, you know, another dude I think you would have fun training with is John Cena.
That's oh, yeah. Goddamn, how could I leave
you?
You've
got to have John
how
Cena.
How could I leave you? Yeah,
John's
so,
such a gym freak.
You're so right. You're
that dude
so
puts in the work.
Right. Yes. I've seen him lifting his video. I would love to have John Cena. Titus, big Titus.
I
was at a wrestling match sitting ringside. And Titus, on the way to the ring, he said, hey, CT Fletcher, I'm going to beat your ass. Man, I had my grandson with me. That was such a thrill, man. I couldn't thank that dude enough. And then he yelled from the ring. He had some guy in a headlock or something. He yelled from the ring, you next, CT Fletcher. Boy, that I felt so good, man. That made an old motherfucker feel good. So, Titus, you got to come see my ass, too, man. He told me he's coming. I'm going to be looking for
Titus
him.
Titus is a big dude, too.
Yeah. I want the Big Show in here, too, man. He's doing a lot of rep. I got to talk to him. He says he's doing a lot of lighter weight and repetitions like me these days, so I would love to have him. He's looking good to me. He's looking fantastic.
Yeah, he
yep. So I'd like to have him in here too.
Tell me about the light repetitions you're doing.
Oh man!
I mean, for light for you is like what?
225. I don't bench press over 225 pounds now. You know, and I do what I call a marathon with that. And the first set is 1, 2, 3 reps. Every set, if you do that amount of reps, so it goes up to 20. So you do on the 20th set, you do 20 repetitions. So it's 210 reps all together, and it's hard as fuck to do. But it's only 225 pounds, but I just do a hell of a lot of repetitions with it.
And that's the only exercise you do for chest that day?
After that, I'm getting in my car going home. Yep.
Okay, so what we do for back?
On back, I do a marathon. The marathon is actually just the formula, but you can do it for any fucking thing. You can do it for squats, back, or anything. One rep. First set, 2 reps is like that, all the way up to 20, and then I'll get my fucking car and take my old ass home.
I'm gonna try that, CT.
Yeah, it's pick a weight. It's not easy at all, but you know we can handle the repetitions a lot better than we can try, you know,
right.
Fucking powerlifting records and shit. I ain't got that no more.
Hey man, I know you got some other shit to do other than talking my ass. Where can people find CT Fletcher's I Command You to Grow Whey Protein, and all of your other supplements.
IronAddictsBrand.com. IronAddictsBrand.com, and we're in a lot of different supplement stores, but I can't remember all the motherfuckers now, but I do remember IronAddictsBrand.com, and you can go there and order that shit. And
as far as appearances go, this podcast is going to drop tomorrow. Today, as you're listening to it in your car, where will you be? Any appearances that you would like to talk about to smarten the people up?
Venice Beach this weekend, and next weekend, where we in Texas?
Houston,
Texas, next weekend.
Go to ctfletcher.com.
Yeah, just go to ctfletcher.com to find out where the fuck I'm going to be at. And because the only way I know where the fuck I'm going to be at is I ask my daughter. I have no idea where the fuck I'm going to be at. And Natalia, my manager, she keep me lined up and kick my ass out the door. Other than that, I don't know. Too much shit to remember.
Man, I didn't know you were going to bring me that protein powder, but I brought something for you, too.
Uh-oh.
I brought you.
See, I got my hat on.
I know. CT came in 15 minutes late. I see his big ass come to that door like he's trying to creep up on me. I had a Broken Skull Ranch camouflage hat on. I said, I see you.
Right.
I thought you were going to pull a John Cena. You can't see me. I see you coming.
Goddamn right.
Tried to be in stealth mode, sneaking up on me. I brought you my Broken Skull pocket knife.
Oh, don't give me that, Steve. I might shank a motherfucker. Did you see me in Superman, the extended version? I'm in the goddamn last Superman movie, and I shanked the shit out of the motherfucker.
And sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I hope and pray, CT, that when you use this knife, and that's very sharp when you take it out of the box, and that's
shit.
The blue model. It's a real good-looking knife, 4-inch blade, super high quality. You're going to love it. Here's the thing. I hope you're only using it to open in your letters and your bills and your fan mail. But if you got to shank a motherfucker because he's fucking with you, it is what it is. It shouldn't be fucking with you. I
that's
got a
right.
pocket knife. I tell everybody, it's the same knife as this one, except it's blue.
Oh,
so I always tell her, but you got to have a pocket knife.
Oh, man. Boy, you never know. Because we're old as I am, you know, you get motherfuckers that want to try you every now and then. I believe I can open up a...
Now, you can think about it, but don't you do it.
I'll put this right in the fat part of your ass.
Again.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for giving me an hour of your time. And check out ctfletcher.com to find out where he's going to be. He's going to be in Venice Beach on Saturday. And then he's coming down to Texas. Hey, last question. When you're going down to Texas, I saw Ronnie Coleman about a year ago. Man, he wasn't doing so great. He was on crutches. What's up with Ronnie?
Ronnie is off the crutches.
Oh.
He's working out. He's back in the gym working out. You know, and I love that guy because... I left him off my all-time favorite bodybuilders. I got to put Ronnie Coleman, King Coleman, got to put him on there. He was tremendously massive. He looked like fucking Mr. Olympia.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He was tremendously fucking massive and pulled it all together. And what I like about Ronnie is he thought he was older than me. And I said, no, you're not, motherfucker.
So what happened? He had a back surgery?
Yeah, he had, I think, hip replacement. I think it was hip replacement. I mean, you've seen the way that guy squatted. And that didn't surprise me at all. You know, Ronnie was a powerlifter in bodybuilder's flush because he would lift weights to, you know, make powerlifters cringe.
You ain't shitting.
And that motherfucker was strong as fuck. And I'm glad to see that Ronnie's, you know, doing a lot better now. And I really like talking to him. Yeah, he sounds like an old country boy like me.
Hey, man, it's good talking to you.
Good to always. Always a pleasure. Always welcome here, Steve Austin, Stone Cold.
All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. So I'm going to wrap up this podcast and ride off in sunset. Before I do, I want to thank C.T. Fletcher down in Long Beach at Iron Attic Gym for giving me an hour of his day. It was good talking to you, C.T., and catching back up with you and seeing what's up, just shooting the breeze. And my video for you guys is going to be a motivational video about being obsessed with getting back in shape, or staying in shape, but obsessed in a good way. Check out on YouTube, C.T. Fletcher, the greatest speech ever. It'll get your ass in the right state of mind, frame of mind, whatever, to get your ass in the gym and put in the work, do what it takes to get where you want to go. I know what I'm doing as soon as I put this microphone down, and that's in my backyard, start slinging some damn iron, courtesy of CT Fletcher. Check out that video. Hey, man, ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin has all the shirts that I wore in the last season of Broken Skull Challenge. And the best damn IPA on the planet is Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company. You can also get Broken Skull IPA at Whole Foods and Total Wines if you live in California. If you don't live in Cali, check out InsideTheCellar.com and see if they ship to your state. Or if you're in the L.A. area, stop in El Segundo Brewing Company and have a beer with Rob and the crew. And you can find everything Steve Austin at BrokenSkullRanch.com, including the cold steel Broken Skull knife and the working man's knife. And I got to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. And you can find all my sponsors at PodcastOne.com. Just click on the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and then click on the Steve Austin Show banner. Hey, keep listening. The 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. Until then, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.